Father, it's good to be in your presence this morning, rejoicing with those who love you. Amen. Father, we just want to tell you how much we love you, and we're here because we want to shine out for you. Yes, it's not about us, it's about bringing glory to the one who has saved us. This morning we pray that your word would encourage us, your word would help move us forward from where we are right now. We're tired of being stuck, whether it's a concept, whether it's a physical thing, no matter what it is, Father, there's a way forward and there's hope in you. Yeah. Hallelujah, we have this kind of a God. Jesus, we appreciate all that you have done for us. Thank you for dying on the cross. We're here this morning because of you. Help us to move forward. Amen?
Amen.
Well, good morning. Oh my goodness, are we all here or? It's okay. Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, there we are. All right. Welcome. This is Church in Toronto. My name is Ian. If this is your first time being with us, welcome. It's our joy to have you. We are moving through the Minor Prophets. We're actually coming very close to the end. It's been a very, very good journey. I know personally, I've received a lot of help from the Lord, not only in terms of understanding the books, but also in terms of his speaking to me. Let me just start it off this way. We're going to talk about catching the wind this morning from Zechariah chapter 4. If you have your own Bible, you'd rather use that. That's fine. Open it up to there. We're going to have the verses on the screen for you soon. But let me just start off in this way. How do you handle difficulties in your life? How do you deal with obstacles in your life, at work, at home, with difficult people, with uncomfortable environments and nasty, difficult situations? How do you? Do you have some kind of formula? You have some kind of a route that you take? I believe most people do. Do you believe that God will act? Or are you resigned to working it out yourself? And I want you to be honest with yourself this morning. Be honest. Are you all about trusting and believing in God, or are you more inclined to try to work it out yourself? You know, we just, especially we go on the working it out ourselves, we kind of do this solo thing. And that solo thing, going by yourself, is going to land up in one of two ways. You're going to push forward and try with all of your might and all of your power and all of your strength. And eventually, you're just telling yourself over and over again, I can do this, I can do this, I can do this. You're like the little engine that could. I can do this. Or maybe you're on the other side and you just tell yourself, this is just too much. And you just give up. Well, the good news this morning is that God wants to help us. And I believe the word this morning is a big reminder to us. From God, lean into Him. Lean into Him for your strength. Lean into Him for your encouragement. Lean into Him for what you need. You know how it goes when we're small. I have this little granddaughter. I don't know why she loves her granddad so much, but she just does. Maybe it's because he sneaks her chocolate or something like that. I don't know. Sorry, Mommy. But she just, you know, every so often, she just having a certain day, and she just leans into granddad, and it's like, it feels good for me. I'm not going to lie. It's just an awesome experience. But I believe for her as well, there's something. She is helped. She is comforted by the fact that, hey, here's someone I can rely on. Here's someone I can lean into. I want to give you an illustration as we start off this morning. I want to give you an illustration of a sailboat. I love this illustration, this metaphor, because I feel like it's amazing for our Christian lives. I feel like, you know, a sailboat, one of the most important things, of course, is that the sail is up. If the sail is not up, that's not a good thing. You want the sail up and you want to be able to catch that wind. And you know what? It doesn't matter whether the wind is gentle and barely noticeable. The point is still the same. Is your sail raised? Is it up? Are you catching the wind? And you might say, it's up, Ian, but I'm only making slow progress. But you're making progress. And it's steady progress. Or maybe the wind is really strong and you can't miss it. Do you have your sail up? Is the wind caught in your sail? And if it is, you know the kind of progress you're going to make. It's going to be quick progress. It's going to be significant progress. Well, let me give you the other side of that, because here's what the picture looks like when we make mistakes. The sail is down. Often the wind is blowing. We're discouraged. We're discouraged with our situation. We're discouraged and disappointed with people. And we thought that things were going to work out a whole lot better. And we might be a bit afraid. We probably are pretty frustrated. Maybe we've been criticized. People have been talking about us behind our backs. Maybe we've been just doing all kinds of things to undermine. And our mistake is we drop the sail. This morning, I hope you would be encouraged. By the time you leave here, I want my sail up. Amen. No matter what the situation is, I want my sail up. Don't drop that sail. Well, we're going to jump into the fourth chapter of Zechariah. Believe me, everything I just said has everything to do with this chapter. I wasn't just trying to get your attention. I want to show you a vision. I'm not going to go through the verses this morning, verses 1, 2, 3. If you want to look at them yourself, you can. I just felt like this is a better way of just telling you what happened. Zechariah has a vision. And the vision is of this, a golden lampstand with bowls on the top. And on either side of that lampstand, there's an olive tree. So there's two olive trees, one on the right, one on the left. And before we go too much further with this picture, I just want to have you concentrate on that middle part for me. That is called a lampstand. And a lampstand was to shine. A lampstand was to testify. And we saw that, if you know your Old Testament well, you know there's a lampstand in the tabernacle. Very important. And there was a lampstand in the temple as well. And what's interesting is that lampstand is a picture of, in the Old Testament, God's people. I want to show you two verses to give you an idea. It's not just that God wants this nice shining lampstand in his tabernacle or in the temple. That has everything to do with God's people. So let's have a look at Isaiah 43:21. The people whom I formed for myself, that they might declare my praise. You, if you're looking at the children of Israel, what was their job? What was their responsibility? Was to shine forth and testify God is real. This is who God is. This is how God works. In Psalm 96, verse 3, we read, declare his glory among the nations. So there's the declaring of the glory. That's the shining where? Among the nations. Declare his marvelous works among all peoples. So it's important for us to see from the very beginning that this golden lampstand is something that God is really working on, but it has a lot to do with his people. Okay, I want to take you to the verses starting at verse 5 now. It goes this way. The angel, this is, again, Zechariah. The angel who talked with me, Zechariah, answered and said to me, "Do you know what these are?" I said, "No, my Lord." Then he said to me, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel." That picture, in its entirety, is the word of the Lord. This is God's word to Zerubbabel. Want to back you up a little bit in terms of history now, just to tell you why this picture is happening. Zerubbabel is discouraged. Zerubbabel, about 20 years prior to this, left captivity and came back to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple. A Gentile king said to him and all the others who wanted to go back and rebuild. They came back. They came back with all kinds of energy, all kinds of excitement, and they rebuilt the altar. Amazing. They rebuilt, they relaid the foundation for the temple. And then came opposition. And the building stopped. The building probably stopped for about 15 years. Can you imagine being in those shoes? Well, were we clear? Maybe that Gentile king was wrong. We start to doubt ourselves when time like that. Oh, are we discouraged? I'm sure Zerubbabel was very discouraged. Nobody wanted to work among God's people. The building was not going up. There was opposition from outside. And I'm sure Zerubbabel himself was wondering, what in the world is going on? So this word is an encouragement. That picture that we just saw is a picture for Zerubbabel. I want to encourage you, Zerubbabel. I sent you here. I asked you to come back to rebuild my temple. And I know things haven't worked out the way you expected them to work out. But Zerubbabel, I have a word for you. Zerubbabel, here's my word to you. Lampstand filled with oil with two olive trees on the outside. And of course, I love this little kind of play, you know, between the angel and Zechariah going, "Do you know what these are?" And of course, he's saying, "I don't have a clue what is going on here." But look what he says. It's like so encouraging. This is the word of the Lord. Can you go ahead to the next part? Look what he says. Zerubbabel, not by might, not by power. It's not about your physical strength. Your physical strength is needed, but it's not coming down to that. You got to put your part in. We're going to see that in a second. Zerubbabel, Joshua, I need you to put your part in. All the people that are in the land, I need you to put your part in. But it's not about might. It's not about might. It's not about power. And I think this is where we get caught so often. It's all about what we think that we can do. But look how this verse concludes. It's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my Spirit, says the Lord. How are things going to move forward, Zerubbabel, Joshua? They're going to move forward by my Spirit. Amen? They're going to move forward by my Spirit, not by your strength, not by your power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. This is God saying to Zerubbabel, Zerubbabel, lean into me. Lean into me in all of your discouragement, in all of your disappointment, in all of the things, in your expectations that are falling apart around you. Lean into me. Put up your sail. Put up your sails, Zerubbabel. Don't make the mistake of keeping the sail down. Get that sail up. If we don't have the sail up, it's like I'm rowing. It's all about your rowing, right? Some of us know this famous person from history, D.L. Moody. One sister was asking him one time, why is it you always tell us we need to be filled with the Spirit? We need to be filled with the Spirit. And he said, madam, it's very simple. I leak. I'm going to wait for that to hit. Why do I need to be filled with the Spirit? It's because I leak. Now, I want to help you for a second here, because some of you think that, you know, coming to church or being filled in the Spirit is like going to the gas station when your car's low on gas. It's not like that. The Holy Spirit filled you the day that you received Him. The question is, in your experience, is your sail up? There's not a problem with the Spirit. The wind is always blowing. The question comes down to, is my sail up? Is my sail up? And that is the word that Zechariah is using to encourage Zerubbabel. I want to show you again, because I don't want you to feel like this is some passive thing that you and I are doing. Just, oh, let me just be carried away by the way. No, I've been among Christians like this. Like, oh, look, the Spirit is leading me here and there. No, there's something that we have to do. Look at these verses in 8 and 9. The word of the Lord came to me saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house, and the hands of Zerubbabel will... So don't think he's like, oh, this is awesome. I just get to sit down and God gets to do all that He wants to do. Go ahead. It's not like that. God needs our part. It's a very important understanding we have. Look at what He said in Haggai. Still encouraging the same people. Haggai chapter 2, verse 4 says, be strong, Zerubbabel. Be strong, Joshua. Be strong, all the people. Work, for I am with you. What God is doing, it's a cooperative thing. He's sending the wind. What is our job? Raise the sail. Catch that wind, and we can really make some good progress. Okay. Then there's a verse 7 in Zechariah. I never thought about God as like a trash talker. I've never thought about God in that way. But I'm reading this verse, I'm thinking, who's speaking here? This is God speaking, and He's speaking to a mountain. And look what He says. Who are you? Who are you, O great mountain? You know, He's comparing the mountain to Him, right? You got nothing. Okay, what is that mountain? That mountain for Zerubbabel is the disappointment. That mountain for Zerubbabel is all the discouragement and all the years that have gone by. And he's thinking, this thing's not working out. That's a great mountain for Zerubbabel. But God is saying, who are you, oh great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain. Does that sound good to you? How many of you have a mountain in your life? Oh, great. Nobody. You got troubles in this. I should sit down. Just put your sail up and go. Sorry, that's my dry British sarcastic humor. How many of you have mountains in your life? Troubles. Troubles, difficulties, concerns. How many of you have kids? Okay, you got problems. No, you don't have problems. You got concerns. You got like, oh, are they going to get into university? Oh my goodness, are they going to be able to have kids? Oh my goodness, they're going to... Mountains. We got mountains all around us. But look at what God says to Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel, I'm going to make that mountain a plain. I got a picture for you. Just just in case you're not quite clear. Gonna flatten that thing. Whatever obstacle stands in your way. Do you know, this is really interesting. At the beginning of the book of Luke, Jesus is quoting this kind of thought as well. And he's saying, I don't care what is in between me and you in order for me to reach you, mountain, crooked way. I don't care what it is. I'm going to flatten it. Isn't that awesome? Yeah. That's the kind of God that you and I have. He flattens mountains. The problem for us is we're just staring at the mountain. We're not focusing on who God is and what he's doing. One last thing before I start to really bring this thing down to you and me in terms of our kind of like our individual and our kind of collective experiences. I want to explain one last thing for you in verse 14 of Zechariah 4. There's a little explanation because Zechariah is trying to figure out, well, who are these two trees? And all that he gets is this. The angel says, then he said, these are the two anointed ones who stand by the Lord of the whole earth. Most people feel that that is Joshua and Zerubbabel as leaders to be responsible for God shining out, for God's testimony. What's interesting is if you fast forward all the way to chapter 11 of the book of Revelation, the apostle John uses the same image. He says, I will grant authority to my two witnesses. These are the two olive trees and the two lampstands that stand before the Lord of the earth. It's interesting because it's like people are necessary for the building and the spirit is necessary for the building. But eventually it's not about this physical thing. It's about you and I being a testimony for God. You and I, in our everyday lives, we get to testify to who God is, no matter what difficulties we face, no matter what how despondent we may be. We get to testify that God is real. So let me talk about the lampstand today. You know God still wants us to shine, right? We just sang about it. Shine. We didn't sing shine, Jesus, shine, but we sang shine so that the whole world could see, right? Thank you, Nigel. No, I can't sing it for you. Sorry. That's your strength. God wants to shine himself out to this world. I showed you earlier from God's word how God's people back in the Old Testament, that was their job. It's our job too. That's our responsibility. We've been commissioned with exactly the same thing. I don't have the verses for you, but just follow along with me on this. We know in John chapter 1, it's spoken of Jesus that he made known the Father. And in John chapter 8, verse 12, it says that he is the light of the world. He's actually saying, I am the light of the world. Take that over to you and I. Most of us are familiar with Matthew chapter 5. And it says what? You are the light of the world. And verse 16 says, so shine. Listen, shine. The responsibility that you and I have is shine. Shine that the whole world may know who your Father is. That's amazing. That's the responsibility we're given. We have the same job that Jesus had in that regard. But you're never going to shine if your sail's not raised. If you leave here today and say, that's it, good, I got it. I'm encouraged by Ian. I'm going to go shine. It's not going to work. Because your sail is down. It's by might. It's by power. You're going to fail. Raise the sail. So you should be asking, Ian, how do I raise the sail? How do I raise the sail? How many of you love to sing? I'm not auditioning you to come up here or anything like that. Nigel's got that all wrapped up. Don't worry. Okay, how many of you love to sing? Like, just, I mean, that works for me. I don't know about you, but that helps me get the sail raised day after day. If, like, for me, my kind of alone time is like shower time. So I have my phone and I got my music playing and I'm singing in the shower. That's good for me. That works for me. Maybe that works for you too. Maybe are you a word person? Let me see the word people here. How many of you love, you just love the word. Would you do that? Would you raise the sail by being in God's word? How many of you just like to take care of other people? Oh, I love that. Some are like, what? That's how you raise a sail. Yeah. You can raise the sail in so many ways. You can fill it in. Most of you have been walking before the Lord for a while now. Just get the sail up. Let me talk about our witness. The two witnesses that were in Revelation, that is transferred to us as well. Let me show you a verse in Acts chapter 1. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Amen?
Amen.
Say, no, Ian, that's what Jesus spoke to his disciples. Yeah, that's what he spoke to us too. That's to you and I. You and I are to be those witnesses. That's to us individually. Be a witness. Testify. Shine for who God is. Let me talk about us as a church. The book of Revelation, chapter 1, talks about seven golden lampstands. And those lampstands represent the churches. Of course, it's not the buildings, right?
Right.
It's the people. And those same lampstands are to testify and to shine out in that area. Here we are in Toronto in 2015. Right. Are we shining? Are we shining? Are we shining? Are we shining as a church? I believe we are. But I believe we could shine a whole lot brighter.
Amen.
But we need more sails up. Is it good that Nigel has his sail up?
Yes.
Okay, don't just sit in the back of the boat. Right? Don't just sit in the back of Nigel's boat. Go, Nigel! Maybe I'll add a little brim. God doesn't need that. Don't sit in the back of his boat. You got to get your sail up. Right? Just think about all the people in this room. If all the sails were up, wow, we'd be really moving. Okay. But let's face it, we do have our mountains. We do have our difficulties. Let's talk about when people come to be among us. Do they see God shining? Because that's what the Bible says it should happen. The Bible says we need that when people come among us, they should say, wow, God is among those people.
Right.
When people come among us and they just sit at our table, do they taste God from us? Do they smell God from us? Do they hear about God from us? Listen, maybe they come in at the one part of your conversation and they hear about the difficulties that you're having with your child. But yet the conversation turns and you start to say, but God. And it's like, oh? Look, if I was a new person and I came to this church and I heard people talking about God did this and God did that and God did the other, a lot of times we just stay in the difficulties. Don't do that. You're just looking at your mountain. We have a God who flattens mountains. Let's show people we have a God who flattens mountains. Amen?
Amen.
Let's talk about our worship. Actually, I'm going to ask the band to come on back up because we're going to sing one song. I'm going to see how well you got this. Not the song, how well you got the message this morning. We want to just to have a good response. In our worship time, what are we testifying? And I'm talking about you now, and I'm asking you to be really, really honest. Are you just like, oh, this is boring? This is boring? Is that what you're testifying? I wonder, what is it that makes you excited? What do you get excited about? What do you get excited about? There's nothing better to get excited about than Jesus. Is there? Oh my goodness. If you're trying to get excited about your kids, give it up. Really, honestly, I know you love them, but they're going to disappoint you. If you're trying to get excited about your job, how long is that going to last? Thank you. A little honesty from the church this morning. Amen. Why don't you get excited about Jesus? It's worthwhile getting excited about him. He asks us to shine him out. So maybe you're like, well, Ian, but if we roll things back 7 years ago, 8 years ago, we didn't used to do this kind of thing. We didn't have music like this. That's right. And maybe you're saying, this is not our tradition. This is not our history. You know what? Let me just say a frank word to you. Maybe that's your mountain. Maybe that's your mountain. And God just says, would you let me flatten that thing for you? Would you let me flatten that thing? It might be a concept that you've got. Maybe you'd say, no, I'm too proud. I see these people raising their hands and I'm just too proud. What would so-and-so think about me? Did you ever consider that might be your mountain? That just might be your mountain. And you come face to face with it every Sunday morning and you're not getting through. And I wonder if there would be a raising of the sail this morning that God would just say, you know what, here it goes. It just comes down. Raise your sail, brothers and sisters, raise your sail. Stay standing. Would you repeat these words after me? This may not be your situation, but maybe it is. And sometimes just speaking these words out can really help unlock our heart. God help me.
God help me.
I'm blocked in. I want to live for you.
I want to live for you.
I want to witness for you.
I want to witness for you.
I want to live a life that displays you to all people in my life.
I want to live a life that displays you to all people in my life.
God, remind me every day to raise my sail.
God, remind me every day to raise my sail.
At work.
At work.
At school.
At school.
At home.
At home.
I'm sorry for not leaning into you. God, show me how independent I am from you.
Show me how independent I am from you.
God, fill me with your spirit.
God, fill me with your spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, have a seat. Del's going to share a little bit with us about the marriage seminar coming up.
Yeah, it's me again. I just want to have a reminder, there's still one or two openings for the marriage weekend coming up at the first weekend of June. If you're interested, please see me. It'll be a fun time. Don't get scared, okay? It's not to be something to be scared of. Don't you enjoy your marriage? Don't you even wish it'd be better yet? Yes. Okay. So if you're still interested, please see me. Second thing is, next Sunday is the first of the month. We begin at 10 o'clock, still with classes. Then at 11 o'clock, at the end of the 11 o'clock meeting, we will be having the Lord's table, and then follow that by lunch, if you can stay. Lastly, we just like to have another prayer time. Some of you, most of you realize, if you pay attention to the news, I know some of you don't, there was, past few days, there's been an earthquake in Nepal. and the death toll is rising still, and at least 5,000 people have been injured. Let's just spend a bit of time to pray for that situation, and also remember to pray for that situation in your own personal life. Lord, we just come to you again. Remember all these suffering ones in Nepal and even other countries who are also affected by this massive earthquake. Lord, come and be the comfort, be the grace to the people who are suffering, and also to the rescue workers and all those who go there to help out. Lord, be the sovereign Lord over all situations. Comfort the grieving. Comfort those who are have loss. Comfort those who are injured. We ask this in your name. Amen. We are dismissed.